Okay. Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and today I am on the telephone with Mark Lerner. Mark is an expert in the Real ID Act, and he's just written a book about it. And I met Mark in Valley Forge when we went down there to that conference, and I didn't get a chance to interview him then. So we're interviewing now, and I'd like to welcome you, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
You want to tell my listeners about your book?
Yeah, we just released a book today, and the book is titled Your Body is Your ID. And the basis for the book is this. We believe that you cannot exist in a free society and a surveillance society, both simultaneously. You can't reconcile the two. I spent 3 years in the biometrics industry. You think of biometrics, you think of fingerprinting, iris scans, facial recognition. And I worked with the CFOs, the presidents, the chairman of the boards of the largest biometric companies in the United States. During that period, I uncovered a great deal of wrongdoing that led to a federal investigation. The federal government never disclosed the results of that investigation. I was asked to keep it confidential. I eventually went public. And the bottom line is this. I have spoken out around the country, not just against Real ID, but the whole idea of having any kind of a national ID card, which is actually an international ID card. And that's one thing I want everybody, whether they live in Maine or anywhere in the country, to understand. Mm-hmm. We keep talking in the context of a national ID card. If people were to go to the Real ID Act, the law, and look at page 68 in the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, footnote 17 in real small print, they'd realize their digital facial image, their photograph, is done in accordance with the standards for the ICAO, the International Civil Aviation Organization, an agency of the United Nations. And this is what the book really details, the influence of international organizations, not just on our federal government and its policies, but all the way down to the states in terms of the federal government setting guidelines for state driver's licenses, which are actually international standards. So when you go to get your driver's license, you should ask the people at the Department of Motor Vehicles, is the photograph a high-resolution facial recognition compatible photograph?
And will they know that?
And they will tell you yes, if they want to be honest. Now, I could tell you, I've met with lawmakers all over the country, including Washington, that never understood this. And one of the reasons we've been very successful, our organization, working with others, is we have been able to document. When I testify before a committee at the state level, wherever it is, I am able to document exactly what I say. We don't say anything that we can't corroborate. Uh-huh. And when these lawmakers find out that these standards for state driver's licenses are international and all citizens are being enrolled into a single global biometric identification system, and it's not just a biometric identification system, it's also a system of financial control. And this is why many Christians have opposed the Real ID Act and are going to oppose things like the National Workers Identification Card, part of the immigration reform legislation.
The immigration national what?
Yeah, a part of the immigration reform legislation that Senator Chuck Schumer has proposed is it includes a National Workers Identification Card.
Now, this is in addition. In addition to a driver's license, you would have this?
Absolutely. In addition. Now, our organization understands we don't want bad people coming into the United States. We don't want people coming into our country illegally. Uh-huh. What we do is we offer an alternative solution. And our solution is based upon authenticating birth certificates, what are called breeder documents. And our system calls for a telecommunications system between the states and the Department of Health's vital statistics in each state and the Department of Motor Vehicles. So all the DMV offices around the country and all the Department of Health's or vital statistics would be linked through a very secure telecommunications system. It would not be under the control of the federal government. So when you walk into your DMV and you provide your birth certificate, it is authenticated. That is not done right now. And once it's authenticated, your driver's license or state identification card, if you don't drive, will be proof of your citizenship, eliminating the need for a real ID license or any kind of national worker's identification card. And if people would like to learn more, obviously, we would like them to buy the book. You get a book and a DVD, both for $20. We're not for profit, so there's no tax here. And the $20 includes shipping and handling. I can tell you, I was in about 25, 26 states last year testifying not just about real ID, but the use of biometrics. And what we're going to use part of this money from, and we're not making a lot on the book and DVD for $20.
It doesn't sound like both. Right.
No, that includes shipping and handling. But part of what we're going to do is really educate a broader base of people. The book does cover technologies. It raises the issue not just of a surveillance society versus a free society, but the government controlling the people or the people controlling the government. And I make the point in the book that people are confusing lifestyle with freedom. As long as you can go to work or you can take your kids to school or perhaps go to church, whatever the case may be, we think of ourselves as being free. And in fact, that's a dangerous concept when you start confusing lifestyle with freedom. So not only do we identify the problems with regard to laws and technologies, we provide a very viable alternative that state lawmakers around the country who are part of our organization are supporting. And I do represent, I'm the co-founder of the Constitutional Alliance. The Constitutional Alliance. We have a website, it's www.constitutionalalliance.org, constitutionalalliance.org. You can go to the website, there's an icon of the book there. For a $20 contribution, you get the book and DVD. But you can also read some of the articles and find out we're not about blame. We don't care about political parties. We're not interested in throwing around a lot of insults. We look at real problems and provide viable alternatives.
Well, let me ask you, how did you get, of all of the things that you could get involved in, what got you involved in the Real ID Act?
Well, what happened, as a person that formerly supported the use of biometrics, I believed it could be a useful deterrent in things like the war on terrorism, et cetera. I got involved with the biometrics industry, the most senior people in it. And when I found out that there was bogus or what their own employees called rigged testing, information was being provided to wealthy investors that wasn't going to the public as a whole. When I found all that out, I obviously made a conscious decision, rather than make money off the companies, to go forward and turn the information over to the federal government. Whenever you're talking about technology, it's very important people understand. You're not just being asked to trust the technology. You're being asked to trust the companies and the people that work at those companies to provide the technology. And then you're being asked to trust the federal government. And I could give you 100 cases. You know, the CIA's chaos program, Department of Homeland Security had three different domestic spying programs, starting with Pantheon. The NSA abused national security letters. The NSA abused the FISA Act, and the FBI abused national security letters. In a three-year period alone, the FBI issued 143,000 national security letters. They do not require a court order or warrant. They are a demand on corporations to provide information. At 143,000 in 3 years, That's over 100 a day.
That's a lot of information.
Yeah. And one of the points I really make in the book is, in the past, information was spread amongst all federal agencies, the IRS, Social Security Administration, FBI, Veterans Affairs, Department of Defense, etc. Today, what we're doing is centralizing all information, and it's all falling under the purview of the Department of Homeland Security. So it's not just the idea of a national slash international ID card that we object to. We object to the centralization of information through linked databases. If I gave you and your listeners today $1 million, I don't think you'd go out and invest it all in one stock. You would diversify it.
Right.
You'd limit the risk.
Right.
Well, our federal government, in their infinite wisdom, has decided that diversity isn't a good thing. Let's just put it all in one basket. And I would say to somebody, you know, if I was a terrorist or a hacker or an identity thief, I would go into a DMV, I'd offer an employee $1 million, and I'd say, go give me 5 million people's Social Security numbers, date of birth, names, addresses, and I'll tell you what, I'd make a bundle.
Right.
And that's just one of the problems when you start centralizing information and creating a centralized database.
Well, is it not too late to stop this? I mean, there's a whole bunch of states that have already made this the law. I know Maine caved recently, and it is now law here. Is it too late to backtrack and repeal that? Or?
No, right now, 25 states, and actually 26, have passed laws or resolutions stating that they would not participate. As a matter of fact, they're prohibited from participating in Real ID. And that's why Real ID has been delayed or postponed now a couple of times. The new implementation date is April 2011. The federal government's had to postpone it because it would create a constitutional crisis now to try and implement it when so many states have laws that say they simply can't. So they're trying to work that out, the federal government, but we are getting, we're having a great deal of success. Like I said, I was in 25, 26 states last year, having state laws put in place that don't allow the use of biometrics, compliance with Real ID, et cetera. In New Hampshire, which is looking at this very carefully, they have an opt-out rule. When you provide your Social Security number, you can have your Social Security number deleted from the Department of Motor Vehicles within 72 hours from their database. That's a very good law, because what that means is it lessens the likelihood of identity theft.
Right.
When your Social Security number is not in the DMV database, that's a good thing.
I mean, now you've got to trust the DMV that they're actually going to do that.
Well, we put in the legislation that we write, okay, and one of the things that we look at is oversight. So we have committees that are specifically given the responsibility of ensuring that state law is complied with. And actually, if you know, most people don't understand this. Most people who work Department of Motor Vehicles are really good people. Okay, they're not bad people that are trying to, you know, take away the rights of citizens.
Right.
Unfortunately, there's a culture of corruption, as I point out in the book. But there have been many states that have had their DMV databases compromised. Mm-hmm. In New Jersey, one office, 11 employees, all 11 got terminated for fraud and compromising personal information.
I remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what we focus on. Our goal is one thing at the Constitutional Alliance. All the debates that need to take place about the deficit, wars, immigration, all those issues, we want those debates to take place. And our job, the way we look at it at the Constitutional Alliance, is to ensure that the freedom, the rights, liberty, and freedom are intact so that those debates can take place and the people's voice is heard. And I'll tell you, one of the problems, and working around the country with different state legislatures, is the rules process in the individual state legislatures. You can have a bill that has support from both Republicans and Democrats,
uh-huh.
and because one committee chairman or maybe a floor person or the Speaker of the House, any one of these individuals has the ability to stop a bill. And that's unfortunate, because even though you might have widespread support, one individual should not have the ability to kill a bill.
That just seems so wrong to me. And it's the same thing in our federal government. That,
well,
you know, I mean, they can stop the people's will just by saying, well, we're not going to vote on it.
Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. So we have taken the approach, we're done trying to get things right in Washington. I still go to Washington 4 times a year. I work very close with senior people there. I meet with staff directors, councils, chiefs of staff, talk with congressmen. But the bottom line is this. The multinational corporations and special interest groups have taken over control.
Yep.
What they want is what becomes policy.
Yep.
So we take the, you know, we look at this a little bit differently. We look at it like it is the state's responsibility to protect citizens from a tyrannical federal government. The states are the buffer. That's the way the Constitution was designed. That's the way it was ratified. So we work with state lawmakers that really understand the importance of the 10th Amendment. People like Charles Key in Oklahoma. He's known nationally. Neil Kirk in New Hampshire. There are lawmakers in every state that if they had the support of their people, they could ensure that the state would act as a buffer between the citizen and the federal government.
It's a tall order, and I know that's what I believe, too.
Well, I'll tell you what, if people will go to our website, contribute to $20.
And that's what is constitutionalalliance.org.
Constitutionalalliance.org. If they will go to that website, and we have about 35 or 40 groups, both state and national, that we work with. State groups like Secure Arkansas, Take Back Kentucky, OK Safe. And, you know, some of these groups like Take Back Kentucky, 6,000 people just
right.
in Kentucky.
OK Safe is doing pretty good, too.
Amanda Teagarden,
yep.
George Wallace, Ken Sellers at OK Safe.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, I thanked them last week for the award that I was given at the conference. And Tom DeWeese and all the people that were out there are great people. I would encourage people to go to Tom's website, the American Policy Center, Tom DeWeese. I have a great deal of respect for Tom DeWeese. And I consider Tom to be one of the foremost experts in the country on public-private partnerships.
Yep, I'm with you.
Michael Shaw is an expert on sustainable development.
Yep.
These are people that also belong to the Constitutional Alliance.
Oh, okay.
So what we've done is, people like myself, I don't know everything about everything.
You can't.
But
that's the thing, it's so far-reaching, you couldn't possibly anyway.
That's right, and it really irritates me when we get these pundits on TV that proclaim they're experts in everything. So when we first designed, if you will, the concept for the Constitutional Alliance, and actually it started with a conversation with Representative Sam Moore of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was, how do I take what happens at these conferences and make it useful and be able to act on it going forward? So we decided to form a national organization of state and national groups, state lawmakers, and private citizens. And when we were thinking of a name, we thought, what better name than the Constitutional Alliance?
Yep.
And unfortunately or fortunately, as the case may be, I got selected as the spokesperson, as one of the co-founders. But I'll tell you, it's been a blessing. It really has. The people around the country have been wonderful. I always believe that we should give thanks to God for what we have. And I'll tell you, the people around the country have supported our organization. And there are a lot of good Americans, we should never give up hope or faith in our country.
Yep, I agree. So what is the name of your book, Mark?
The name of the book is Your Body is Your ID. And it's got a big eyeball on the cover of it with a globe, a picture of a globe and a fingerprint. Talking about, you know, basically the globe recognizes it is an international global identification system. The eye is taking a close look, which it says above the title of the book, at you. And then the fingerprint represents the biometrics.
Great.
So it's called, you know, take your body is your ID, and it is.
Yeah.
Through the use of CCTV surveillance cameras and facial recognition, you can be identified in public. Now, you don't have a right to a privacy in public, but you do have a right to anonymity unless you've done something wrong.
Right.
And we'll discuss that in the book. This is really a book. Look, people on the far right and far left don't trust government to begin with now.
You're right.
Okay, that's one thing they have in common on the far right and far left. We have directed this book really at those people in the middle, what I define as middle America. They can be independents, Republicans, and Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
They're open-minded. They're willing to listen to different solutions. And they're not so entrenched in their own political ideology that they see everything through those glasses.
Right.
They look at things as American citizens. And that's really why we want people that aren't freedom-loving people, the patriots, the freedom movement, to get the book and share it with their neighbors, coworkers, people they go to church with, whatever the case may be, people they go to synagogue with. But that's how we're going to build this bridge between the freedom movement, if you will, and mainstream America. Matter of fact, the person who edited the book for me is a part of mainstream media. Spent 21 years with the Associated Press, a number of years overseas as an editor for their international desk. So I would just say that we're already involving mainstream media. And this is the bridge that we've needed in this country for probably many decades between what we call the activists and mainstream America.
Right.
This book, that's what it does.
Great. Mark, thank you very much for talking to me. And I
hope
to talk to you again. Write another book so I can talk to you again.
Well, right now, I think 12 interviews in the next 14 days. One book's enough right now.
thank you,
seriously. And to the good people of Maine, they can contact us through our website. And if they'd like us to come to their state, I will come to their state with legislation in hand, meet with their lawmakers, and help them to get legislation passed and signed into law.
Wonderful.
That protects the rights of citizens.
Great. Many of my listeners are lawmakers, so hopefully they'll all listen.
We work with Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. In some states, it's the Republican in one chamber that authors a bill, a Democrat in the other chamber.
Right.
So it's not about partisan politics at all. It's about honoring, first of all, the sacrifice that people have made so we can have the rights, liberty, and freedom we do. Okay, but it's also about protecting the citizen. That's what we're about, protecting the citizen sovereign, the state is sovereign, the country is sovereign. Sounds familiar. That's basically what OK say. Sovereign people, sovereign state, sovereign country.
I hope you'll be around in a couple of days when I put out another interview with someone who's interested in the same issues we are, north of Bangor.